This is Financial Standard, the definitive source of news, thought leadership and analysis for Australian wealth management professionals. Financial Standard, take the lead.
Welcome to the Financial Standard podcast. I'm your host, Karen Vergara, a senior journalist at Financial Standard. They say every family is unique. That means every family business must also be unique, underpinned by strong family values and dynamics. Jen Goldsworthy, a director and financial advisor at Goldsworthy Private Wealth based in Brisbane, joins us today to share how both running a family business and a financial advice practice runs in her DNA. Jen, thank you so much for your time today.
Hi, Karen. Thanks for having me.
Jen, first of all, let's get to know you a little bit more. Tell us about your work as a financial advisor and about your practice.
Okay, so this could be a long story, but...
That's fine, go ahead.
So our business is actually quite an old business. It was started in 1963 by my grandfather. So we're turning 63 this year. And I commenced working in the business in 2004. In terms of the business itself, though, I'm the third generation, and my sister and I took over around about, I was in May 2022, I purchased the business formally, and my sister purchased the general insurance side in 2021. So whilst the legacy of the business is 63 years of age this year, it's also four under the Goldsworthy Private Wealth banner. So we are a family business first and foremost. So that's been an interesting ride as well, because a family business also is kind of interesting in terms of a dynamic, having to live with the family and work with the family as well. So that's just a little bit of a background on the tenure of the business, I suppose.
So tell us who your clients are. You mentioned also, if you want to go into the general advice business, what type of offerings that you guys provide and the type of advice that you yourself provide.
Okay, so our clients that we have are typically pre-retirement, retirement and aged care. Probably the aged care area is a bit of a growth area at the moment. There's been a lot of changes that have come in from November last year, and it's quite a difficult space to navigate. You really do need to know all about how the Centrelink system works, the aged care system works, but also having many years of experience working with clients is important in that segment, because you are dealing with really emotional family members, and people are grieving, people are stressed because all of a sudden dad's had a fall, he can't get out of hospital, they won't let him go home, he has to go into an aged care facility. Oh my goodness, I can't afford the RAD. How's mum going to live at home? How are we going to afford all of this? So you're oftentimes navigating a lot of family dynamics as well. So as a financial advisor, you need to be very technically on top of things, but it is very much a people-based business. So funnily enough, when I first became an advisor, I was 21 when I qualified.
Wow.
And I had a gentleman say to me, well, who's going to listen to you giving advice in the retirement space when you're 21? And I mean, I suppose I can understand why he might have made that comment. But because of the tenure of the business being such an old business, we've got fourth generation clients. So we kind of fell into that advice sort of segment as opposed to sort of dealing with more clients my own age. But that doesn't mean I don't deal with younger family members as well. We do see the wealth accumulators and things like that. But we do really kind of specialize in that pre-retirement, retirement and aged care space.
And just quickly, do you help out with the general insurance side of the business with your sister, or is that completely separate?
It's a separate business, but we operate out of the same office space. So we have a couple of staff that we share, a bit of an economies of scale type of thing, really. It's kind of nice as well, because you get the feeling of it being a much bigger business, because there's two businesses collaborating together, and there's that cross-pollinization of referrals and things like that, which typically helps. So we do have clients that are clients on both sides of the business. But the reason why the two businesses sort of have come to form is that the businesses prior to us buying them were just all under the one business previously.
And a little bit about you, because I read in our Power 50 booklet that you had you were working as a receptionist in your family business during high school. So tell us about your training and your education and what led you to buy the business in 2022.
So if I'm completely honest, when I left school, I didn't really have any intention of becoming a financial advisor. In fact, I actually didn't even know really what it was that a financial advisor did. I was working, I had some other roles and things like that through high school, but I had an agreement with my father that if he let me go to schoolies week at the Gold Coast, I would do 2 weeks unpaid work in
Amazing.
The family business in the reception role. Now, it was probably, in hindsight, a really sneaky way of getting me into the business. But also what it did was he made me sit in on every single client meeting he had in that 2 weeks.
Wow.
And I did the file notes for him.
Mm-hmm.
And so what it enabled me to do was actually see what he did and also see how the clients really sort of were grateful for the advice he was providing, how he helped them achieve things. And at the end of that 2 week process, I then went overseas and did a 3 month exchange in Germany.
Oh, nice.
And in that period of time, I was figuring out what I wanted to do with my life. So I started a Bachelor of Business. And when I came back from Germany, I sort of decided, well, I wouldn't mind actually exploring the financial planning aspect of things a little bit more. And so I decided to join the business, which was hard in itself because I had to go through the interview panel with a very with someone who was running it at that stage, basically saying, just because your family doesn't mean you're going to get a job here.
Yeah.
Not a nepo baby.
Wow.
But I got the job and just started at the front desk and worked my way through it whilst completing the degree. So that was really good because I could learn the technical aspects of the role at uni, but also be working at the cold face of it day to day. And so it was almost like a bit of an apprenticeship.
Mm.
So after I did that, I went down and worked in AMP head office at Circular Quay for a little while.
Oh, no, wait,
in
Sydney?
Vetting. Yeah.
Oh, yep, wow.
Yep. Yeah, yeah. So I was there for about 6 months and I was working in the vetting team and I worked as the planner liaison officer. And that was the conduit between the planner and the vetting officer when there were difficult cases and needed to explain, you know, why a certain outcome had been made. So that was fine because I was used to speaking to advisors and things like that. Then I went away again for about a year and came back and qualified as an advisor and commenced in around about November 2007, coinciding with the global financial crisis. So that was a bit of a baptism of fire.
Yeah.
But it's a good time to start when there's issues in the market because it makes you really acutely aware of risk. When times are good, people tend to take a lot more risk on their investment. But starting when times were bad, it was difficult, but there were some really important life lessons learned over that first 3 years.
Well said, well said. It could only go uphill from there, right? Because that was that was the bottom. Yeah, I think a lot of people remember that time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's talk more about your other works in the industry because you do some amazing work. You've appeared on the Women in Wealth panel and Women Chiefs for Enterprises International. You partake in that. Tell us about that side of you.
I've been really lucky, actually, in this industry. I think just probably purely because I am first and foremost an advisor and I'm really focused on my clients and my business. But the second aspect of that is I believe as advisors, we need to sort of get it out there to the public at large what we do. So I've really been trying to push myself to get out there and join things like panel events, participate in industry events and other networking type of events as well to explain how a financial planner operates with other professionals and what we do in terms of a day-to-day. So I have sat in a lot of panels like the Women in Wealth through Women Chiefs and just trying to promote the public, the industry to the public at large. I've got an event coming up in the next month, and that's a really interesting one actually. So I'm collaborating with an estate planning lawyer, a real estate agent, mm-hmm. a funeral director, and a memorial garden GM.
Wow.
And so what we're trying to achieve out of that panel is explain how we all work through a client scenario. And that scenario will be, so, you know, someone who's just started to retire, someone then goes through a downsizer strategy, someone then medically has an issue where one of them has to go into care, and then suddenly someone passes away. So what we're trying to do with that panel event is explain out of each of those scenarios how each of us can play a pivotal role in that, so that the audience knows what they need to be thinking about heading into that chapter of their life. But certainly that's going to be something that I'm really looking forward to doing. Aside from that, I actually have done a few other things which have been really interesting. I actually appeared on The Block twice.
What? Wow.
Yeah. So that was a while ago. And that was when AMP was one of their key sponsors. So,
awesome.
We used to be part of the AMP Financial Planning Network, which is now Acumen
Entirety.
Yep. And so what my role was on that, so there was two seasons. It was the final episode was we did walkthroughs of the completed apartments. And my job was to explain how property fits into an investment portfolio.
Nice.
So things to consider when you're buying a property, and you know, diversified portfolios include a little bit of property in there as well. So that was something completely out of my comfort zone.
That was awesome. That's awesome.
But what an amazing opportunity that was. That was great.
That's so cool. And what year was that? Was that a few years back, or was that recently?
Yeah, it was quite some time ago. Yeah, I think it was around about like 2010 and 2012, thereabout.
Very cool.
I'm not exactly sure of the exact dates. It was a while ago, but that was fun. That was really, really good. I've also been able to attend last year. I did a study tour in Boston.
Oh, wow.
And that was great because as advisors, we tend to be in front of clients a lot and we are running our business a lot. And so that gave me some time to be away to actually spend some time working on the business, not in the business. So that was done through the Harvard Business School.
Oh, wow.
And just it was just such an amazing experience. And we learned some really great concepts that I use all the time.
So it's not investing that you learn on this tour. It's more like how to run a successful practice, for example?
Yes.
Oh, yep. Cool.
Yeah, running a successful practice, trying to navigate the challenges that you face, like with staff and, you know, changes to things like AI and how to fail fast. So don't be afraid to fail, but it's what you do after you fail to pick yourself up and the learnings that you make from that. The decision-making process, you know, there's a two-way door or a one-way door. If you're making a decision, can you come back from that if it doesn't work? Or is it a huge decision where you make it and you just have to back yourself and move forward with that irrespective of that? So those types of events are really, really good because they're quite humanizing. I mean, when we sort of do things like a podcast or panel events, we talk about the positive sides of things, but running a business is really, really challenging. You really have to back yourself. And it can be a bit lonely at times. So you do have to invest in that and make sure you're speaking with other business owners so that you can kind of compare war stories as well.
So Jen, all this good work that you do for the industry, when you get a recognition like the Power 50, which you've been on a few times now, what does that mean to you?
I think it provides a little bit of validation to say that you're doing a good job.
Absolutely.
Because, you know, you show up every single day and you are speaking to clients all the time. You're putting yourself out there and being included in a list of 50 influential advisors And that's not just the biggest businesses in Australia. That's advisors who are doing the same thing. They're waking up, their clients are at the center of every decision that they make, and they're really trying to advocate for the industry. It is a real achievement to make that list.
Absolutely.
And I think it's just basically just recognizing the efforts that we're putting in every day. So it really means an enormous amount to me to be included in that list and making it 2 years in a row was just amazing. I had to sort of make myself a cup of tea before I opened the email to say that I'd made it again, because I was a bit nervous, because you have to put yourself out there.
One of my favorite questions that I like to ask people in the industry, at what age did you realize the value of money? And so what is your money philosophy now? Two questions.
I am really passionate about these particular questions. So from really early on, I didn't want to be the plumber with the leaky taps. So I really think that as a financial advisor, you need to lead by example.
Mm-hmm.
So you can't be advising other people about the state of their affairs if you don't have your own affairs in order, you know, to the best of your ability. Things can change and whatnot. But that, to me, is really important, making sure that my house is in order if I'm giving advice to other people to sort their affairs out. So that's really important, number one. I'm also really careful in terms of like the recommendations that I provide to my clients. I need to know that I can sleep at night knowing I've done everything I can to have their best interests at heart.
Yeah.
And the other thing in relation to that is I don't want a client for 1 year. I want that client for 20 years. Mm-hmm. So I want to be able to give them the advice, and I want to go through that advice process with them. I want to take them through, achieve their goals, see them reach their goals and live it with them. Go through the hard times, go through the good times. And I think if you take the time and effort in preparing a plan at the very beginning that, you know, encapsulates as much as you can for that client, they will stay with you for 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, outside of that, there's also some things like your basic principles around, you know, the B word, budgeting. Everyone hates that word.
I hate that word too.
And being real, like don't lie to yourself. If you are spending money on things, let's just see what it looks like. Let's rip that Band-Aid off. Because I think you really need to be making sure that you are spending less than you earn. So simple concepts, organizing money, making sure cash flow gets put into the right box.
Mm-hmm.
It's not about not going on that holiday or not buying that outfit or not going out for dinner. It's about just managing the money and making sure everything's going to the right box, essentially. Yeah. And every dollar that comes in is as tax efficient as possible. And the other side of things is things like risk and starting early. So I really like the dollar cost averaging DCA strategy, smaller amounts frequently over a longer period of time. Compounding interest is not that sexy sometimes.
No.
People get bored with it, you know.
But it's magic.
It's magic and it's consistent. And I think the super industry is testament to that.
Yeah, you know,
It's a forced savings plan, but if people didn't have that, they would retire with nothing.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the philosophy around compound interest is really important, and it's really important to start that early, because the old way of finishing school, saving up for a deposit and buying a house doesn't necessarily work anymore because of housing prices. So we've got to look at finances differently now, and you need to start early. Also, that younger generation, you know, I don't really want people in their 20s to be disincentivized to work and achieve because they think they have to go and buy a house when there's other strategies that they can be using, not sort of an outdated theory of how to make money as such.
Looking at the advice industry and the future of it, like, what are you most excited about going forward?
I think we've come through a really difficult patch the last 5 years post the Royal Commission and the changes in the education standards, particularly probably about 3 years ago. The morale was really low and it kind of felt like we were in sniper alley. So every time you put your head up, you were getting shot at.
Yeah.
And also you turn the news on and it was just awful. It was absolutely awful, particularly when a lot of us were doing the right thing by our clients, you know? So we've moved past that now, which is great. And everybody in the industry who's still here has a very, very well qualified and accredited.
Mm-hmm.
And so we have really put an effort into making it into a profession. So I think what we need to really do is just make sure that people understand what it is that we do.
Mm-hmm.
So people tend to understand what an accountant does or what a lawyer does,
mm-hmm.
but there doesn't seem to be a huge amount of understanding around what a financial advisor does.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to educate people about our profession. What do we
do? Absolutely, yeah.
The other side of things that I'm excited about is trying to get new entrants into the industry.
Mm-hmm.
We really need people. We need to be increasing the financial literacy of people at school so that they know that this is an avenue available to them when they leave school and study at uni as well. And it's an exciting industry. So, you know, you're dealing with people, you're dealing with money, and it's a really, really rewarding industry. The other aspects of things that I'm looking forward to is AI and trying to reduce things like red tape and trying to make it easier to do business.
Mm-hmm.
So when a client comes in, if we can use the likes of AI to automate some of that back-end process so that we are seeing more clients, I think that's going to be really, really, really good. And it might also bring the cost of advice down too so that more people can access it. But with the AI side of things, I think we need to work with it, not necessarily think about it as something to replace us. Because in the scenario of aged care, let's say an AI automated process might be transcribing the file notes and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
The AI agent isn't having the face-to-face with the client, and they really do need that face-to-face hand-holding and support.
Mm-hmm.
But where the time and the money aspect comes in is turning that information that we have from that meeting into an advice document.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's where it gets really expensive and time consuming. That human interaction is really, really important to help people through that phase. So I really think that AI and that human side of things can work hand in hand. And also, I mean, this is probably controversial, but there's been talk of a new class of advisor coming in as well.
The DBFO,
And I think, you know, if that's done right with adequate guardrails in place around what can be advised upon and what cannot be advised upon,
mm-hmm.
it's a really good entry into the industry for people who might be studying or for people who may be working in a practice for a long time, like a client service officer.
Yeah.
Who really understands how the advice works and how to implement it. But it's a good stepping stone to be able to enter the industry rather than having to do the full degree and then the professional year and then only then be let loose in front of a client.
Yeah.
So it's a good happy medium that I think needs to be sort of looked into and investigated a little bit more to try and attract new entrants.
Jen, this has been such a great conversation. Is there anything else you'd like to add before we wrap up?
The only other thing I'd probably say is that outside of the events that I've been kind of hosting or sitting in on, some of the other things I've been doing to try and get the advocacy piece out there to try and promote the industry is I've been working with the Advisor Association. I sit on the board, so that's through our licensee entirety. And so in that role, we are advocating for the advisors and the members in our network.
Mm-hmm.
So their interests are looked after and try to help them be as best that they can be. But one of the really interesting pieces of work that we're doing through the Advisor Association is advocacy. So working through with the FAAA and the Joint Association Working Group, and lobbying with ministers around DBFO,
awesome.
The compensation scheme of last resort, and how do we adequately share the load of that.
Mm-hmm.
So those types of things are really important. And I would definitely recommend other advisors in the network to try and get themselves out there and try and sort of participate in these types of things for the industry so that we can better the industry and and get it known to the public at large what we do.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Jen. It's been such a pleasure.
No worries. Thank you so much for having me.
Thanks for listening to this Financial Standard podcast. For more information, visit financialstandard.com.au. Please keep in mind that the information discussed in this podcast is general in nature and does not consider personal circumstances. Reliance should not be placed on any content without further independent financial research and advice.